Welcome to another episode of Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for players and game masters to design perfect characters through imperfection. We cover all forms of game design, from interesting and engaging backstory creation to campaign and NPC development. Enjoy, remember to play what you love, and may your characters do something epic.
Welcome back to Rolling Imperfection, the podcast to make your story-driven campaigns better. I'm Kevin.
I'm Steve.
And yeah, we're here again with another episode. I don't know why I'm fighting the dead air. We edit out the dead air.
Yeah, I don't know. I was about to say, like...
it's the teacher in me. I've done a lot of Zoom classes, and dead air is the death, the silent death, literally. So
I was surprised because, like, you started off like really fast. You're like, okay, 3, 2, 1, clap. All right, let's go.
I know. Oh, and then okay. I fell apart.
Dang.
Fell apart in 3 seconds. It was great.
You got to the intro, though.
Yeah, I don't have as much trouble with the intro as
yeah,
you.
Just me.
I have my script. I know what I'm going to say. If I'm doing a standard intro, I can just go through it. Yeah. So this episode, you will note, is called Dynamic Character 102. The previous episode, episode 105, is Dynamic Character 101. And I'm fairly certain Steve, would strongly recommend that you, dear listener, listen to that episode first if you haven't already.
True. Because... I was about to say, as the teacher in this podcast, are you the teacher that's going to say, like, no, you can't skip over to 102. You must go and complete 101 first?
You want the teacher answer? The teacher answer is, I'm certain that you're smart enough and have enough capabilities to understand and absorb all of the 102. But I believe that the 101 would help enhance how much you know. And even if you already understand the 101 skills, it will create a firmer base for which this 102 information will sit on top of and will gel. That is the teacher answer.
And as the student, I guess, in this argument, I'm going to go ahead and tell you in layman's terms, that means go listen to the last episode.
True. Also, I do want to say, this is a tough love episode. Like, last episode, I felt like we were, like, really, like, relaxed and kind of, like, you know, we were grooving. We're just here to help. I'd like to say that we said fuck less, but I'm almost positive we didn't. that's not a harshness, though. But this episode is about those tough cases. So I'm going to be doing a little bit of tough love. I think Steve also, a little tough love, feeling a little tough love,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah, I have some comments to make.
Good.
We're going to be slapping some people in the face with a trout.
Yes, I'm in.
Okay.
Danger zone. Look, this is about improving your character if you're a player, or your player's characters if you're a GM. Okay. So, and this is honestly, if you're a GM and you want to improve a player's character, or if you're another player and, like, you realize that the person who has, like, the most static characters is definitely not going to listen to their GM and listen to our wonderful episode 105 or this episode, and you want to help out, like, frame it as improving the character. This is all about improvement. That's what I say to my students when I give them back papers full of, you know, comments. But I do mean it.
Critiques.
Yes, I do mean it. So today's topic is all about basically trying to take a character that's static and make them dynamic, and kind of how you can do that, both thinking about it as a player, like, if you listened to the last episode and you realized as a player that your character a little static, I have good news, because it is not too late. It is definitely not too late. I don't care. Look, the next episode could be the last episode. It is not too late if you talk to your GM.
I was gonna argue, I was like, I don't know, if you had like a really long, like 50 episode campaign, I would be like, I think, you know, at the end of
Steve.
It and the last episode, but then I was gonna say,
There's always room for the dread moment, Steve. There's always room for that tiny. All it needs, it's tiny, tiny character development. And honestly, after a 50-episode campaign, that can be poignant as shit, all right?
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like, I think actually that would be, like, a very, like, important change, like, right at the very end. You know, like, figuring it out and, like, overcoming a challenge because of it type of thing. So.
Yeah. And it'll make it fucking memorable. All right. That's what we all want as role players, right? We want those memorable. We want those things where you're going to go to someone and you get into like the, you know, oh, like story from their game, story from your game type thing. That's what we want. That's it. That's what we want this moment to be, you know,
the RP version of back in my day. So you tell people.
I feel like that's putting it very negatively. Like. I feel like you're putting it very negatively. No, the like, oh man, that's a really cool thing. Here's my really cool thing. Oh, you have another cool thing? This is my other cool thing. Like, you know, do you not have those conversations? What do you talk about at monsters parties? It's anime. Never mind. I know.
No. yeah, I was like, it's monsters party. I mean, probably video games and anime usually. It's been, it's been a while. I don't remember, actually.
True. The plague. Maybe this year. Yeah. We'll see.
Oh, actually, last year it was mostly just catching with people that I hadn't seen in fucking forever because of the plague.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You actually went then.
I did. Yeah, you didn't. For once.
I didn't. I feel like I had a really good reason.
I think you were sick, weren't you?
No, I was moving.
Oh,
I was moving,
right.
And it was at the end of a day of really long moving. And so I literally.
You're exhausted.
I got back and I was like, I can't. I can't. And then I tried to watch Dances with Wolves and I couldn't do that either. So. anyway, so I guess I just wanted to start with like what I mean by ideology, because ideology is kind of like a big fancy word that I actually kind of don't want to be fancy at all for this episode. I kind of want it to be placeholder, and it was the best word I could think of. And this is essentially the way the character thinks and what they believe. And note, I say the character, not the player. That is probably a key distinction. And knowing us, we're probably going to have to like correct as we go through.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like sometimes the player's ideology moves into the character a bit.
I think they overlap a healthy amount. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing.
True. Yeah.
But yeah, it can encroach, right?
Yeah, but we're strictly talking about whatever ends up in the character, whether it comes from the player or not.
Right. Exactly.
The player or the concept. Yeah.
Yeah. So the key thing here, I think, is that I don't think you need to like toss out the entire character, you know? Like, I don't think they need to like, I mean, I guess you can do it this way. I don't think they need to be hit in the head and like become a different character.
or shot, then write up a new one.
Yeah. Yeah. This episode's about kind of avoiding that, I would say. This is about keeping the character, but just like figuring out where you can like tweak it or like add a little bit of flavor, right?
Yep.
And I think first, and honestly, I think this is something that kind of anyone should do with their character anyway. Like, even as I was writing this stuff, I'm like, I should probably think about this thing a little bit more too. I know, like, if you asked me, I would be like, oh yeah, like Charlotte enjoys drinking. She now enjoys working out, but that's a more recent thing. She enjoys some space thievery. She actually enjoys writing quite a bit. She enjoys hacking. It's very relaxing. You know, I probably could list off some foods, right? So I could go through and I could do all that. But, you know, I feel like you could also dwell. You could also go beyond. Because as I'm going to mention later, it isn't always about what your character like. Because a lot of people are going to be like, oh yeah, they'll go down their skills.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
Like, some of your skills are that. Some of your skills are like your job, though. Like, and it's good if you enjoy your job. But
I think, yeah. Like, going back to like something that we were vaguely talking about in the last episode, actually, is that like your skills are something that is determined by random chance. And that's part of the thing with tabletop games. I mean, I'm sure there's some tabletop games out there where literally it's like, oh, is my stat better than yours? There's no dice roll. I win type thing. But something that's going to make a dynamic character isn't like the things that they can do that's determined by a random dice. It's something that they inherently believe in and will do socially. So something that they like as a pastime or a hobby, or, I mean, we'll get into that stuff later, but, you know, like the stuff that they like to do or the things that drives them to do something, or even sometimes to like step away or fear something or whatever it may be. Like, that's not something that you need a dice roll for. I mean, sometimes it is. I guess some games have like fear checks, but
yeah, but like, you're right. And I think I even want to take a step back from that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I literally want to start with like, what is the character's general mood?
Yeah.
Like, if you hit them up, what are they, you know, what state? If you roll that dice, what has the most numbers that will come up in this state, right? What's the base? So, you know, and I guess I should move into what's kind of going to be the example. And that is M's character, M, our friend who always likes to betray the party. If this is your first episode, welcome. We talk about him quite a bit. But I wanted to mostly do his character, Lawrence Martain, mostly because this was his character that was trying not. He wanted this to be his quote-unquote palate cleanser. He didn't want to betray the party. But he also created an incredibly static character. I think I mentioned it as an example last episode, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, a lot of his characters, even though, like, they're all very different. Like, if you were to, like, draw them out and explain a couple of things that they did in their character's history, they're all actually very different. But in terms of, like, how they develop and evolve, it's like you can almost just take that picture and be like, yeah, this is how it started and this is how it ended.
yeah.
And in terms of demeanor of, like, how he played the character, too, also was very similar.
Oh, yeah. Like, Steve, if I were to ask you, what was Lawrence Martain's general mood?
It was, does this benefit me? if not, I don't care. You,
if I were to ask you, what was Malcolm Ackman's general mood?
Does this benefit me? If it doesn't, I don't care.
Yeah, and part of this was like kind of that gamer ideology, which, hey, if you want to play it that way, that's fine. I honestly think it's the most boring thing ever, and why aren't we playing a board game? Which, I mean, some people would argue D&D is a board game, but I would say, sometimes. I'll tell you what, you sit down with me and we'll talk about how much of a board game this is. Yeah. And that general mood for Lawrence Martain, like, literally filtered into like everything. And I would honestly say it was a lot more the player than the character. Because I would go from what is the character's general mood to are they more likely to respond positively or negatively? And with Lawrence Martain, I'm going with negatively. Because most of the time it would be negative until he realized that there was something to benefit him. And that's when it would turn positive.
I was going to say, like, I don't think any of his characters, I've ever had one of my characters be in a position where they were like, okay, I expect this person to save me when I'm in trouble. Like, I don't think...
which is funny, because Lawrence definitely did.
Yeah, I mean, he did when it benefited him.
Yeah, you just couldn't count on it.
Yeah, I couldn't count on it. Yeah, it wasn't like a guarantee. Like, this person cares about my character's well-being or whatever. It just wasn't in the cards.
Yeah, and you can have a character who only cares about their goals and aspirations and be super interesting.
I would say, I'm not going to say my character is super interesting, but my character in your Silent Spiral 2 campaign is a little bit like that in a way. Like, he is very self-serving in nature with how I designed him. But
he also has a bunch of stuff going on.
True.
And he'll play off of the NPC characters quite
true,
a lot.
Yeah.
Like, if you were actually just self-serving, you would be trying to, like, butter up Veronica, who's the most powerful character in that setting. You'd be trying to, like, get into Bogart's good graces, who is another powerful character, though definitely less powerful. And you're not, you know?
No, instead I'm either pissing them off or make them very amused at how stupid I am.
Oftentimes both.
Oftentimes both.
And I think that's the key. I think that's the key difference. You can have a character who's very self-serving. That's not the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is when that's all they are. when that's it. They have that goal. So as you're going down, and you, if you realize this, or if you realize that your character has like literally one thing, this is where you can start to, like I said, you can start to expand out. You can start to think about, okay, maybe like what makes them happy? What makes them sad? What makes them angry? And feel free to start with the skills thing. That's not necessarily a bad way to start. In fact, we recommend in our creating a character thing to kind of start there, right?
Yeah.
But you want to go kind of outside of that too. And I think I'll repost the longer character question sheets, even though it's not always the greatest, but it definitely gives you like branching out and you start thinking about other things. But just outside of your fighting, outside of your skills, outside of all the crap that they make you write down for your character creation, what else is there, right? And some of that we talked about last episode, but I think even with a static character, you can think of, or even if you have to add some things right there, doesn't have to be a ton, just has to be kind of like an idea that interests you, the player, right?
Yeah, to at least get your concept going and get the creative juices flowing, yeah.
Yeah, and then talk to your GM about it. Say, hey, like, I think I might have a little bit of a static character, and I don't want to help fix that. And trust me, if you have a GM, it's worth anything. They'll be like, go on. And you should be slightly afraid.
Be very afraid.
But also remember, them fucking you over is interesting.
That's actually something I was going to say too. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Oh, okay.
I want to hear.
Is that like something, I mean, successes can be motivating and like inspiring, like when you overcome a great challenge. But I mean, we've said it before too, is that like failure is what can drive a character to change. So don't be afraid. I mean, they tell you that in life, you know, don't be afraid of failure, go out and just try things. But like whenever your character like fails at something, like even if it's something minor, you know, like, oh, I failed into sneak into this place, even though I have a decent stealth, stat or skill level, should be fine. I'll just do it next time. It's like, what are you, Goku? Like, I'm just going to like, oh, I'm just going to keep trying, you know, like, ah, oh, this is annoying. Just keep trying. Don't think about, you know, why I failed or anything like that. Just keep doing it till I overcome it. And it's like, that's very static and boring. But if you think about it in a way like, oh, you know, why did I fail this way? Maybe next time I don't want to try stealth. Maybe I want to try something else. Or maybe I want to be like, hey, you know what? You know, like I didn't do so great. Maybe you should do that. And, you know, direct another party member to try and maybe try. And, you know, maybe they'll get the great success in there. And then you can be like, wait, hey, a minute, can you teach me? You know, like something a little bit more interesting. And that's not even just like a minor example, I think.
Yeah. And then you should ask, okay, how does this event like affect me? Especially if I'm a static character, how does this failure affect me? What can I do? What can I change?
Yep.
Am I going to go harder? Am I going to, you know, what's going on? Also, if you're a static character, you may have noticed your GM specifically poking at you. if you're new to the podcast, I told them to do that, so you have me to blame. roimperfection@gmail.com. I welcome the hate mail. But that's also good. They want to spotlight you. They want to do something with your character. And honestly, that should be the highest thing for any player. That means you're the freaking main character, at least for that episode. And I think that's cool. Now, admittedly, I feel like all GM, or at least, I'll speak just for me. I do go for a more ensemble. I like to do moments, but, you know, I think character episodes are great. And I think players should be honored that their characters get a character episode, right?
True.
Okay. So now we've talked a little bit about kind of the character psychology, just what they like feeling, the feels wise in general, you know, their mood, how they respond to things, what makes them happy, sad, angry. You could fill in, replace, control, you know, replace,
anger,
whatever
fear, aggression, sense, alter, control. Is that what you're trying to go for there?
The dark side are they indeed.
Okay.
To come like a level up. All right. You figured out maybe an area where your character might have some emotional vulnerability. Cool. Or maybe you have it. Maybe you're like, I don't know, man. Like, they're a character. I just kind of feel how I feel. Which, you know, it's fair enough. Fair enough. You might also want to examine their beliefs. Or, once you've examined a feeling, also examine the beliefs. Think about, like, what attitudes might they change? Or maybe are they most likely to change? To do that, it might be best to do another step back and go, okay, what attitudes are essential to this character? What do I want to protect? What makes them them? You don't want to lose that. But, you know, what might be willing to change? And then, like, send that to your GM. And maybe also think about, like, how a goal might change it, both as a player and as a GM, right? The GM's going to actually have to be the one to, like, try to pick at it. And this can be rough, and this might fall flat on its face. And you don't always have to accept every single thing the GM, like, throws at you. I mean, you kind of do, but you kind of don't. You get to play your character. But yeah, all I'm asking you is to potentially be open to it and be open to that conversation. But think about it. What attitude might they change? What is essential to them? And if you find an attitude they might change, how might that, you know, might part of their goal change that attitude? Would that be interesting? What are some ideas there? It's a good way to take a static character and go, okay, little bit of change.
You just gave me an idea, something I didn't really think about before, but it's definitely something that, like, I've dealt with on this topic, is that, like, especially since we kind of rotate like game sessions that we run occasionally, or, you know, like you're in New York, there can often be, you know, weeks between a particular campaign's game sessions. And when that happens sometimes, I mean, it's happened for, I mean, my game that I've run, I mean, it's been, you know, a month and a half. I need to schedule that other session. I need to get writing. But
oh, trust me, Monster and I will automatically be able to go back to the oh my god, what are we going to do?
Oh my
god, that we were in. At least I will. I'm pretty sure Monster too. But yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just meant that, like, when it comes down to, like, thinking about, like, these things, I feel like, you know, like, what your character's attitudes are like, and, you know, how they might be open to change something, or, you know, even sometimes just, like, simple objectives that they're looking to do, is often, like, overlooked when you have a large gap between sessions. So if you do feel like, you know, you're about to go into a session, like, maybe, like, the day before or a couple days before, just thinking about, it's like, okay, do I know, you know, like, what I need for this character to apply this character, and, like, be on the ball of, like, what I'm expecting? Because chances are the GM has a better idea because they've had to go and prepare already. So they already have in their minds, you know, what happened last time and likely what the characters are thinking and going through. But, you know, if you haven't been planning your session because you're the player in that session, then, you know, try and take the time beforehand just to, like, go over these. So you have that, like, in your mind. That way, when you go into the episode, you're not thinking, like, oh, maybe that will change me and I'll do that next time. You know, like, think about it so you can have it possibly be relative in that moment, when that moment does come up for your character to eventually change.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And now I'm going to take this back to our wonderful example character, Lawrence Martain. He was a warrior. His goal, which I don't think we stated yet, were to find his lost tribes, which had each been driven underground in different parts of the world. And he was going to try and find them and reunite them. That was his goal. That was the thing he'd want to do. Every time he'd get to a place, he'd be like, I want to look around for my my tribes. And yeah.
Did he base that concept off of ant colonies or something? Now that I think about it, that sounds like an ant going around trying to find its, you know, its distant relatives.
Being real with you, I think it's Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, okay.
That's a thing, and it's, like, partially based on the Bible. So yeah, it's a whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the thing I tried to do was kind of challenge him, because he was expecting, oh, I'm going to go out, I have this kind of Roman legionnaire type character who's, like, all into dueling and, like, a formal code of honor. And Steve, how did I challenge this preconception?
Are you talking about when he found out that Mauro was going to be related to him?
A little bit. I did that in in waves before that. I don't know if you remember, but
I say, like, I don't remember a whole lot about his character, to be honest, because I mean, like we were saying earlier, is that like it's those great moments of change that you really remember. So I literally don't remember much about his character because his character didn't change a whole lot.
You remember me messing with him the most. That is very telling.
I remember you trying and him just being resistant.
Yeah. So he would go and he encountered some of them. And as he kind of got further out, I made the tribes that he found more different. So finally we got to the end of the game and they met the like final tribe he was looking for. And no, I didn't pass up the moment to have the, like, oh, this one got wiped out. Like, you know, potentially sad moment, but I doubt Steve even remembers that.
No, I don't really. Well, thing with M is that he doesn't really, like, react a whole lot unless it's just like, oh, you failed at that thing to betray the party or, you know, to do this, like, horrible goal. It's like, how did I fail? I did, like, these 10 things that I did right, and therefore I succeeded. And you're like, no, you didn't.
True.
That's usually how I remember those events, but
yeah. But I got to the end, and our friend Nick had this character Mara, who we've talked about, who's like a jokey, silly LOLs character. And Mara eventually met this very wacky like priestess who was also kind of a LOLs character, and she ended up being part of Lawrence's tribe. And he was like, oh my gosh, these wacky like mystics are related to me. And Mario's fallen in love with one of them. And that was kind of like my dig. My like
wasn't
final chance.
Was she like the princess or something? Like someone of like high importance?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Princess
yeah.
or priest. I think she was a priestess. Like priestess. Literally okay. The leader. And yeah, this was like me trying to be like, hey, are you going to like change how you interact? Are you going to like question anything? And no, he wasn't. So yeah. And that's like a shame. So don't do that. And Steve has put a wonderful, wonderful message to all of our GMs out there. Steve?
Yeah, so be aware of what your players are likely not to change or not want to change. And if you don't know, ask them.
True.
Or know when to ask and be like, I think I have this person on my radar, but let me just double check. It's been a while.
Yeah. And admittedly, I have a pretty flexible group who are used to me pissing them off.
Yeah, true. Like to give you a good example of the way a good GM should do it is that there's, I mean, you made a mention of it, you know, like poking your players earlier. It's a difference of like poking someone in the arm to get their attention or tapping them on the shoulder versus you taking a stick and you like just gently poking it in the middle of their back, right at the pressure point where it like irks them and like makes them go, what the fuck are you doing? That's what you want.
And admittedly, with our friend M, it escalated from me like tapping him on the shoulder to me like, you know, doing the like too slow handshake as a like a thing. So I didn't quite go like the horrible route, but I definitely was getting there. I was getting to like, what if I annoy you? Will that do anything?
Are you talking about the psych and then taking your hand and like combing back your hair?
Yes. Yeah. Too slow. So, yeah. And I feel like this is like, I don't know, because it was like the same with all those characters. His space game character, he's a man out of time, suffering from like trauma from this war, and he gets sent to a like basically semi-utopian. There's a utopia in the future in this world. There's still like wars going on, like kind of on the fringes of it, but, and I like was trying to get him to like come to terms and blah, blah, blah. And I saw a few other ideas, but
you tried so hard in that game.
I tried a lot. And how did I get repaid? He tried to nuke a freaking space station, like not like an antagonistic. All they wanted, they were saying, hey, welcome to our world. We don't have weapons here. You can turn in your weapons over there. And like, you know, I was trying to do a thing. Every other character turned in their weapon. Him, no. He got thrown in jail, and then he broke out, and he tried to blow up my spaceport. And I was just like, I think you're overreacting.
Like,
when
I was thinking about that just now, it's just also like, was there anything that he even, like, remotely came close to it? And I was like, oh, there was. And I remembered a little bit better, and I was like, oh, wait, no.
That was,
it was just because he was kind of forced to, and that's when my character was like put on trial, and
yeah,
it was kind of up to him to like defend me in a way. And instead of like doing it, you know, like out of like, oh, this is my companion, I should stand up for them. It was more of like, I'm kind of obligated because I need this person there to do a thing that benefits me.
Yeah. And the other closest he got was with his, she wasn't his wife then, she's his wife now. When her character came in, he did the like boyfriend thing. And like, it wasn't really character development as much as it was like player development. But yeah. Yeah. So don't be M. I think that's going to be the lesson, the moral.
Yeah.
This episode, as is with many of our episodes, but yeah, try to think and think it through. I also wanted to talk a little bit because we, you know, gone through the core character stuff, we've gone through looking at like flexible and non-flexible beliefs, and those are kind of like the base. And I wanted to differentiate those from like changing affectations, which aren't really character development, they're just kind of like there. They can show character development, but just changing like a habit or changing like a common action that the character does, that in and of itself doesn't do a lot, right? It can indicate that there's some deeper emotional undercurrent under that, but you still have to have that undercurrent, not just the like, I'm going to change this aesthetic thing, you know?
Yeah. So like as an example, we've talked before about how Rios went through some emotional shit in your Avant Noir game, and he went sober because he's normally a drunk. The act of being sober is not character development. It's an interesting aspect, but it was more of like how that character eventually came to terms with why he was becoming sober and why he was being depressed. That was more interesting than the act of just like, I mean, it's interesting in the moment, I guess, is a way to put it, is that,
well, it caused interesting things, but the root was the emotion, not the stopping drinking.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that might affect is like how they relax or if they can relax. and I did want to note here, if your character's idea of relaxation is like to train, go back to step one. Think about their mood. Think about.
I said, don't be
makes
Goku.
Them happy. Yeah. So I did want to just toss that one in because like I've played with those people, and
I mean it's an attractive thing sometimes. It's like, oh, I want to go train because I really want this stat to be better, and maybe if I, you know, spend some of my character's free time doing training on this thing, then I'll develop the skill. I mean you've accommodated that for me and other players before, but like, you know, like, yeah. if I'm a character that's like doing studying on magic, it's like, what are they doing? Like probably sitting in their room reading books, not developing or interacting with other characters.
True. Also, there should be like story reasons. Like, okay, let's say your idea of relaxation is to train, but it's to train for like a very like, I've got to like kill my brother or something reason. In which case, I would describe that, like, oh, like, he's going off to train again, but he looks really, like, downcast or serious, or just, like, you could see the muscles in his arm, like, tensing and untensing, and it just doesn't look good or healthy.
I would take or that a step further and say, like, you know, if they're trying to, you know, defeat their brother, then maybe they're going to go out and try and find someone who fights the same way as their brother, and be like, I want to, like, train with you. And then you have the character development aspect of that, if you're going to do something this way.
See, and then I would have them potentially with the help of some GM, like, spell or curse bullshit, accidentally almost, like, kill that other person in, like, in a state of, like,
yeah,
oh
they
God,
start,
I
like,
they were my brother.
Seeing
yeah.
how everything's that, exactly the same as their brother, and then they get into, like, this, like, weird trance, and they're just like, this is my brother.
See, it can be, we can even take these things that are like D&D stereotype, terrible things, and you can make them good. Just underlying emotion can make them good. That's what I'm saying.
True. True.
That's what we're asking. You could take any, I could take any character. Take any character.
Oh God, I've got him started. He's going crazy.
Sorry. I get worked up. I have a lot planned for Sunday. I mean, what?
Uh-oh.
That's actually no, I was about to say that's not true, but that would then not be true. So yeah, that how your character relaxes can also be a sign. Also, and I mentioned this before, appearance, unless you're like an artist illustrating your character like every once in a while for the game, which admittedly, if I'm sitting down at a table with a bunch of people, I like doodle. It's my, like, it's how I listen best. As a teacher, I've seen other people do it too. It's very interesting. But if I'm listening, I'm potentially doodling. But if you're not doing that, then appearance stuff can be a little tricky, and you would potentially have to call attention to it. And sometimes it's like affectations. Like, I've had people be like, oh, their appearance is this way because of their power. And like, that's fine. That's cool. That's a little underlying layer of thought. But once again, it's more interesting if there's like a goal or underlying emotion attached to it. You know, if your appearance alters and everyone around you goes, huh, that's interesting. And they may not even know why, but that can also be like a good way to do something. But once again, the appearance change in and of itself without anything underlying also doesn't show anything. So yeah, those are kind of the main areas where I think people would be like, oh, I could just change this. And it's like, maybe, but make sure you have, you know, you have the either core idea or a belief to, like, you know, back it up. Right.
True. As a D&D example, I can't remember what the race is called. They separated it and made its own race, but it used to be a elf subset, which is like part dryad, and they change based on the season, but they also change based on their emotion for a season. So they're like covered in like leaves and stuff. And so in autumn, they'll be more of like a soft orange. And then, you know, in winter, they'll be like white and like frosted over in their like foliage hair or whatever, but that also is dependent on their emotions. So depending on how they're feeling, if they're feeling kind of sad, they'll be more likely to be in the winter mode. So I mean, that's like a very exaggerated yeah, obvious, you know, like type of version of this, but
I mean, having their powers change or have weird little affectations to them, also a good way to show some underlying emotional or ideological ish, you know.
true, but don't just like the main thing I wanted to point out was like there's two sides to that, like, which is, that's really cool, and I really like that race because of this. But there's two ways to do that, and it's like, well, I feel like my character should be wearing, you know, this like, you know, vibrant orange. Or actually, let's go with the winter one. So the white style, you know, the white frosted over leaves style. I think it's white. It might be blue. But like, I want that appearance wise. So I'm going to say that they're depressed because something that I just made up versus something happened in the game and now they're depressed. So now they're in that mood, whether I wanted them to be that way or not. Like, there's two ways you can do it. The later is the better option to do.
Yes.
Yeah, because you're pretty much just like tacking on, like, you know, like a ribbon onto your character for shits and giggles for the day versus like, you know, like I have to go and put, you know, this like horrible gear on that I don't want to do. It's going to change how I look because I have to, you know, like I have to.
Honestly, most of the time, because you think about how this affects in like real life, it's going to be like, oh, wow, that character, oh, they're still in their sweatpants. Okay, you know, or
yeah,
there's the bathrobe and the Crocs. Ooh. So
hey, be careful, some people like Crocs.
I've heard they're very comfortable, just
saying. That's what I've heard. They look strange, but
just saying, your character is usually putting in some effort and stops putting in effort, that should indicate that something's like, you know. If you are a player, that's most of what I don't know. Still stick around. I am going to be talking a little bit more to the GM for these last two sections. But I do think a player could maybe get something from this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, as a player, if you feel like, cause like sometimes the GM might be like, okay, I think you're developing right. But like from your perspective, you're thinking about like all the times your character had an opportunity but missed it. So you're feeling like your character's static and you want to be a little bit more dynamic than you are, even if you already are a more dynamic character, I feel like this would be a good opportunity to pay attention so that you can be like, hey, GM, like, can I do something about this? Can we maybe work something out? Like, here's some ideas I had for you to like mess with me. Like, oh, that's always great when the player gives you shit to throw at them later.
True. And then so. You take that shit and then you don't give them exactly what they requested.
True. You make it worse.
True. True. I did want to take a quick stop by if you have an M in your game, and it's just fucking like it just sucks sometimes. Like you it gets to the point where you kind of like stop planning shit for them. And that's bad. That like giving up on a character. I hate it when it happens. I have caught myself and pulled myself back. But I did have a section here that's called like when to make things impossible. And honestly, a static character, I think one of the things that can help if they won't, you know, and this is the character resists any change and the player won't like doesn't want to really talk. They're just like, oh, whatever. Like just kind of dismissive. At that point, I'd go ahead and set up an L. Like literally set up an impossible situation. Have a way to pull them out, but they're gonna lose. They're gonna take an L. See what that does. You know, they lose. They lose to something important, or they lose something or someone important. Right.
Oh, okay. That's a more extreme. I was gonna say, like, do you mean like you were talking earlier about how he was trying to nuke that spaceport? But as I recall, like you let him find that nuke. Like he wasn't trying to find a nuke or build a nuke. It was that like it was placed in front of him. So you put it there as like a seed, right? To see if he'd make the right choice.
He wanted the nuke.
He asked me for the nuke. Okay.
And so I gave him the nuke, and it was an old nuke. And if you're dealing with old tech versus new tech, I was like, I gave him the nuke with my back door already in place. I was like, yeah, but if like you do this publicly, there's technology that can like shut down your nuke, like. They have like, you know, it's science fiction, an anti-nuclear field that they can project onto your nuke. So he literally flicked the switch. He was literally ready to be like, I'm going to like lose this character. And I think he would have killed all the other player characters, which kind of pissed me off. Don't piss off your GM. But I was literally like, are you serious? And he's like, yes. And he's like, I flipped the switch. And I'm like, cool. Nothing happens. They've shut down your nuke. You're under arrest. So that was fun. But yeah, no, I'm talking bigger than that. I'm talking literally, it would have been him getting the shit kicked out of him.
Oh, okay.
Or honestly, with his space character, not Lawrence Martin, his space character, it would have been getting the shit kicked out of him, by the lizard people he hated that he had the past war with. That's how it would have been. If I wanted to go that far. I still have one other option, which was there's genetic engineering in this, and I was
going to... Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. That was going to be... Oh, man. I still kind of want to do that. But, yeah, so, I mean, have them go down and have them, like, lose in the worst possible... Have them lose to their archenemy.
What would you have said if you, like, if someone had suggested that instead of, like, having him get... the shit beaten out of him by the lizard people or get turned into a lizard person. Instead, he got like super injured and they like nursed him back to health over the course of like,
I don't think it would have affected weeks. Him.
I know it wouldn't have had it. I mean, nothing has an effect on M. unfortunately, but I think that would have worked for something like my character. True. I mean, not that character in that game. That character had other issues. but I think that would work if I was playing his character. Like, I felt like that would work for me.
And that's what I mean. I think that would work with a lot of people. At the very least, it would light a fire under their ass and they'd have, like, a good, like, post character arc thing to do. Right?
Yeah.
Get a little bit of emotion in there. Whenever your players lose, it gets some emotion, at least. So... Yeah. I did want to mention, though, that's the nuclear option. I did not actually think. Anyway.
not planned, but nice.
Yeah. Pun not intended, but welcome. There are some other options, of course. And these are options, I would say, before it becomes impossible, hopefully. And if you're the player, you can also think about some of these things and you can like throw out some ideas. We GMs, we like ideas, believe it or not. If we're a good GM, we will take your idea. We will think about it. I usually just tell my players no if I don't like the idea, like to set expectation. I think it should be honest. Or I'll say, interesting. And then they'll know they're going to get it, but worse. Eventually. Hopefully I won't forget about it. That can happen too. We GMs are fallible, unfortunately. We're working.
What does the GM lingo mean when you say, we'll see?
Oh, that means it's like going to be real bad.
Oh. I feel like I've heard that a couple of times for Silent Spiral 2 already. I should be worried. I don't remember what they were. Fuck.
Good luck. So yeah. The first option, of course, backstory shenanigans. NPCs aren't who you thought they were, or NPC.
You're right, they aren't.
Trauma or death. Look, listener, I practice what I preach, okay?
Literally, last episode was this.
I'm always trying to get better. You can do some shenanigans with their villains.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps their villains aren't as bad as they thought they were. Can be interesting. You switch out one of their NPCs with like a villain, like, you know, oh, it wasn't this villain. It was actually this NPC. This NPC is actually a villain. This villain's actually an NPC. Can be some fun. You can also, of course, cross NPCs or villains with other characters. The one thing I would warn about that is then both players will want to attack that villain if it's a villain. So have that semi figured out. You know, you're going to end up with like a team versus at some point. And you got to try to make it satisfying for both players, in my opinion. Right.
Yeah.
And then of course the classic backstory shenanigan of, oh, you thought that's how that happened. Lol. That's not you needed more context, clearly. Where the player has like, oh, this happened. And you're like, I mean, yeah, that happened. Like a bunch of other stuff happened that changes the context of that.
A donut hole in a donut's hole.
That's true. Yeah.
You think you know what happened, but you really don't. That's actually a really good example that I think about. I feel proud.
Exactly. And those are all backstory things. Now, you don't always happen, or maybe the character like really likes their backstory and would like feel offended if you tinkered with it. I get it. I understand. But you don't always just have to do backstory. Sometimes you can just have them have a rough episode. Maybe it is a take the L if they're cool with it. I usually only like to do the take the L if they really deserve it. And I honestly, I don't think I've ever actually done that.
Wait a minute. I beg to differ.
Are you talking about last time? That was more of a plot thing.
With my character trying to escape and totally getting shut down.
Okay, no, that was a you making a dumb mistake thing. Okay, never mind. I take it back. I have done this to Steve recently.
About the one that I was just mentioning, or are you talking about a different one?
No, I'm talking about I when you mentioned that one, I was like, oh yeah, I did.
Yep.
He tried.
I definitely
tried
took the L on that one. Good chance of escaping.
He tried to leave the party. I sent a monster after him. That monster wrecked it.
Didn't go so well because I wasn't playing a combat character, and that monster you sent after me was very, very tough for a non-combat character.
Yep. So yeah, have a rough episode. It can just be a thematically rough episode where, you know, they kind of have to come to terms with like, oh, like this event happens with the party and something specifically happens to them, or like one of the characters they know or like, and then, you know, there's some readjustment of, once again, their mood or their beliefs or something like that. That's a good one. That's a good one, especially for like characters that are built really static, so that then they have like a to like go after. I've managed to get want to fix that, right that wrong thing. I've managed to do that with M before. So yeah, this rough episode might also be an entire ordeal or an arc where they have to deal with a disease, a curse, or a long-lasting wound. They have to deal with being hunted by, I don't know, horrible magic abomination, horrible space abomination. An abomination of some kind generally is good. You could also have, like, just a really tough foe. Another one of my favorite. The LOLs version of being hunted, where they're just trying to escape a really annoying character that they can't kill for socio-political reasons. Steve is thinking of the time I did this with Trong, where he got married to a really annoying character, and I am having some fun with that. It's good time. Good time. And then, of course, another kind of extreme method, but loss of powers, change of class type stuff can be really good. I honestly have wanted to build this into a, like, me as the player, someone as a GM campaign. I mentioned this before, I've wanted to have a paladin lose their powers and get them back. I still want to do it. I think it's a cool idea.
Redemption arc.
Yeah, it just leads to you being kind of shit for a little while, and that can be rough for the party, too. So, yeah, those are some things that are cool, and especially if done right, can be cool. And keep in mind, you talking to the GM just means that you know the basic outline of what might happen. Doesn't mean things aren't going to surprise you. They probably will. Heck, you'll probably surprise the GM, and both of you will surprise the party. And that can also be fun, because as much as I like to complain about M, still, one of the classic things is his first betrayal, which we planned and executed for months. Like, horrible monsters. And Steve still remembers it. Steve, yep. How you feel about cartographers?
They cannot be trusted. Literally anytime I see it, I think about his character. Like, even if it's just, like not even a tabletop game. Anytime I hear the word cartographer, anytime I see a cartographer, or if I even just see someone like making a map in a video game, I'm like, fucking M.
And that's the kind of reaction you want. That's what we're going for. That's why we want dynamic characters, everybody.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. All right. I think that's this episode.
Yeah, I agree. So
we will be back next week for Dynamic Characters 103. Building in vulnerability. I want to talk a little bit about putting faults into a character, and I'm going to spend a little time with our GMs going, don't make this like a fatal flaw kind of thing. We're going to talk about that next time. Go ahead, Steve. Yeah.
No worries. So remember, until next time, may your characters do something epic, and remember to play what you love, because I'm going to do this backwards like Kevin did last episode. It's part of our trilogy here. The dynamic characters.
Oh yeah.
Gotta work with your flaws and evolve. I literally did that on accident too. It's just ironic.
Look, everything was going well. We're having a very unscuffed podcast, and
oh
that
yeah,
just can't
it was
happen
until
anymore.
Then.
Post,
yeah.
Post 100, they're all scuffed.
They're all scuffed. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, interjections, queries, notes, formal challenges, or suppositions, please email us at roimperfection@gmail.com. That's roimperfection@gmail.com. Or follow us on Twitter at roimperfection or Instagram search roimperfection. You can also visit our website at roimperfection.com. If you enjoyed our work, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great week, everybody.